Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. It is 11 minutes after 12. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on this 720 WGN. It's a Wednesday afternoon. A little sun out there right now, but I think mostly cloudy and some snow on the way for the weekend. I know because I'm driving through Indiana, and that's what brings the snow. Terry Savage is in the studio. Oh, you know, Terry, next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday is National Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. So,
good thing I'm not on live that day.
No, well, we can arrange it if you want to come in. But we're going to talk to Cortland Hickey later in the program, owner of Chicago Costume, about the business of ugly sweaters.
Oh,
now.
Renting them out? Because who would want to keep it in your closet all year long just to trot it out for one day?
I think Goodwill had a program last year where they would sell you a Christmas sweater and guarantee they would buy it back for a minimum. So I think it was like $8 or something. They're not doing it this year. But, yeah, people are renting ugly Christmas sweaters. That's coming up. I was just telling Bill and Wendy, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Donald Trump said in an interview with Time Magazine, you know, he's named the person of the year today.
Yes.
And in that interview, he said a couple things, that he's going to find a solution to the Dreamers, which I think is pretty significant news. And then he said he's going to bring drug prices down. He said they're too high. But he didn't really say how he's going to do it.
You know,
on Wall Street today, drug makers have been suffering.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And maybe you can excuse this as just the euphoria of newfound power. Because America elected him, or the Electoral College will elect him anyway, as president, not as emperor. It looks like he wants to please people. And that's a very popular thing to say, is that you will bring drug prices down without thinking of the consequences of saying it. You know, what we've had in the election and now is like, on the one hand, what a great idea. Cut taxes, cut regulations, get the economy going. On the other hand, what a terrible economic idea to do away with our trade deals and put up protectionist walls and threaten tariffs, if that's what it comes to. So I'm going to perhaps chalk this up to the learning curve that things that you say really matter, especially when you're the president-elect.
Okay, so let's go back to the drug prices, because it's not unusual for a candidate to campaign on this. Here's my platform. I'm going to do this.
But it's usually a Democratic candidate.
Well,
I think it was Hillary.
We saw the stock market and Caterpillar and other companies rise when he talked about his infrastructure plan, right? But in this case, I don't know that there's really a specific plan to bring the drug prices down. He's just kind of saying it. And he said last night in Fayetteville that he wants to, you know, we're going to have new, big, powerful military equipment, and we're going to cut taxes. And, you know, so he seems to be.
So, look, interesting. Let's stick with the drugs for a moment. One of the things we know is that there's probably room for drug prices to come down.
But what makes I'm all for that.
Prices come down without creating artificial shortages is not price controls or government controls. What brings prices down is always increased competition. Now, drug companies say, well, we can't spend millions and millions and millions to invest unless we have a protected period for our drugs before they become generic, before there's competition.
Right.
But look what happens when a drug goes generic. It brings prices down. So while the president-elect might say, I'm going to control prices, I think what he really needs to be doing is thinking about what you could do in the FDA, what you can do in the approval process to justify the expenses that drug companies have for research, but also to create increased competition and allow for experimental drugs when people are in the end of life stages and so forth that could really bring prices down the real way. The free market way.
Right. And make no mistake, I'm all for him lowering drug prices. I mean, but I'm just interested in this phenomenon of maybe there not being a plan behind it.
I think he seems to have a real plan behind it.
And
that's the
You
the
hit
moment.
It. He is just trying to please, I think, like with the Dreamers. He, you know, said, told Rahm Emanuel in Time Magazine, we'll come up with a solution that everyone will be happy and proud of. He didn't really say what that is.
It would be great if everybody could be happy.
With Obamacare, he said he's going to repeal and replace, but he's going to keep, you know, some of the most popular measures.
You know, Obamacare is, and finally there's a reality to it. Paul Ryan is out today with a statement that says Obamacare is in the middle of a death spiral. Now, you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat or an economist to know that's absolutely true. All you have to be is someone in our listening office, audience, who was promised that, A, you could keep your own doctor, please, you could keep your own doctor, and you would have affordable premiums, along with some things we really like keeping kids on their parents' policies and pre-existing conditions not being a bar to getting insurance, but that you would be able to have affordable premiums and keep your own doctors. We here in Chicago know that it's a crisis. There are practically no plans left that qualify for Obamacare, and those that do have raised premiums dramatically because government subsidies promised to the insurance companies didn't really come through.
I'm telling you.
It will fall apart whether the Republicans do something or not. The question is, what's the next best thing?
I'm telling you, right. The healthcare system is forever changed, and you might look back at it. You might look back at it 20 years from now and say it's not Obamacare. But in many parts of Obamacare, what happened has changed our our system, and it's not going to go anywhere.
And you know what? And in a very good way, the whole idea that you were stuck to a job because if you left, your new job wouldn't cover you because insurance was job-related and you had pre-existing conditions that if you lost your insurance, okay, you got COBRA at the time for a shorter period for 18 months and then go find insurance. We're not going back to that, but there's the government messes up spectacularly whenever it tries to control the prices of things. It messed it up in the old Soviet Union, and it messes it up here when the government tries to create artificial markets. So
Are you saying the Politburo came up with Obamacare? Is that what you're telling me today?
The Politburo of Washington, D.C. came up with Obamacare.
We always take a break.
You can take that word.
One more time. You shared a very nice email with me with someone who has saved money. We got about a half a minute left. Remind people it's still an option for them,
right? It's going
to
take more than half a minute.
You always take more than I give you.
A beautiful email from someone who had listened to us 2 weeks ago. I forwarded to you listening that heard my story, which I'll talk about in the next segment, of how there is one exemption for small businesses, even with just two employees, one of whom wants the insurance, to get a great health care policy at a reasonable price. And the deadline on it, it's a quirk in the Obamacare law. Many people have emailed me. I've heard from the companies I recommended. Hundreds of people are saving a fortune on their premiums. This guy saved $14,000 for himself and his family.
All right, so we'll give some details coming up. It is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Frank Sennett from Cranes will be along after Kim Gordon's headlines at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk, Governor Rauner signed that big energy bill. It's called, it depends on what you feel about it, what you call it. I think some people are calling it a clean energy bill. Others are calling it a Exxon bailout bill. Where you stand depends on where you sit when it comes to that bill. But we'll talk to Frank about that coming up. Right now, Terry Savage is in the studio, and you could read a lot of her ideas. She's got a great website. If you haven't checked it out, look at terrysavage.com. She's got columns there, but also some calculators and all sorts of things. And you wrote last week about,
Two weeks ago, we had this discussion, and I've gotten such a response. And because the deadline is a week from today.
So you still have time to do this.
You still have time to do this. This is a quirk in the Affordable Care Act. We just finished trashing Obamacare, the practicality of it, how it's worked out, that people who had these policies now find those policies aren't available anymore. They can't see their own doctors or hospitals. They're really upset, and the policies that are available to individuals are so expensive. Now, listen to this, because if you can figure out how to make this work for you, you can save a fortune, and we just got a thank you note from someone.
That was a very sweet note.
Yeah, it was so sweet. I don't sell anything. You know that. I'm telling you about this, and I'm going to tell you where to go to get some help. There's a quirk in the Affordable Care Act that says small businesses, that's two employees, and only one has to take the insurance, can offer their employees the same kind of great insurance policies that big businesses offer to their employees, and insurance companies, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Humana, must offer these policies for a very narrow window, November 15th through December 15th each year, for coverage to start on January 1st. So if you are a small business owner, if you have a small business, and of course you hired someone just to help you out in December because you were doing your year-end stuff, that means you have an employee, And even if your employee doesn't need the insurance because she's covered on her husband's policy, it allows you to set up this small business insurance plan.
You said twice two workers, but it's the minimum of two. It can go up.
It could be 30 workers. And the people who wrote me said, you know, I'm independent, but my wife works for an organization that didn't offer care. They called these people. They set up a policy, and now I'm covered because my spouse works for a small business that wasn't offering insurance. Why don't small businesses offer insurance? They think they have to pay for it. But this is a plan where everybody pays for his or her own policy that takes it out through the small business, and you pay for it with pre-tax dollars, even the small business owner. So it's a great deal. The prices are lower. The coverage is the PPO you want, where you can choose your own doctors. I know it's too good to be true. This one is true. And you only have until December 15th to get this policy enforced. So at terrysavage.com, the second column on the left, it says small business health insurance deal beats Obamacare. There's a link to two sources of help. Alan Wishner, who's an insurance broker's broker, he can direct you to brokers that have that. He's at flexiblebenefit.com. And the Health Insurance Shop. The Health Insurance, SHOPPE.com. They're located in Chicago. Now, you know, my column goes all over the country. So I'm getting calls from Tampa and emails and so forth. People around the country are going, really? We didn't know this.
So if you own a small business, or if you're in part of a small business,
exactly.
And bring it to your boss.
Ask the boss.
Cost
the boss nothing. You pay pre-tax. It's a deduction from your paycheck.
So the employer isn't like doing a monthly contribution.
He's not on the hook. He's not making any contributions, or she, to you.
They're just kind of the shell organization for you to get the insurance.
You could have 40. You could have 50 people. If you don't like the insurance you're getting now because your boss says, well, that's it, and it's expensive, and I'm not putting this plan up, there's this brief window where you can get the best plan, the kind that all the big corporations offer. The deadline of having this set up is December 15th. They are going to, it's, you know, a week from today. They are going to be working like crazy getting applications in. It doesn't matter if you have a pre-existing condition. You have to have a small business. At least one person must sign up for this plan. The others might say, hey, I like Obamacare. I'm covered on my husband or wife's thing. I don't want to do this. Fine. One person, two employees, one or more. One has to sign up for it. And believe me, the plans they offer are just what you've been looking for. The government didn't shout this out, right?
Right.
Insurance brokers are pretty sophisticated, but they're not retail people. So they haven't, you know, waved a flag and taken out commercials. Here, come to me. So I'm doing it for you.
TerrySavage.com. You can read it. All right, Terry, we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN, Wednesday afternoon, December 7th here. A nice sunny day on Michigan Avenue, and snow, winter is coming. Snow is coming. Wait, Frank Sennett is coming from Chicago Business, Crane Chicago Business. Frank, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
Not a bad day to be ComEd, right? The good news is your electric bill pretty much has been flat for the past 5 years. The negative news is that once the cost of electricity starts going up, you're going to find that the structural part of what you pay to ComEd has been going up quite a bit over the past 5 years.
That's right. In 2011, the legislature enacted, over then-Governor Paclin's veto, a new annual formula that allows ComEd to recover the $2.6 billion investment it has made in upgrading its infrastructure, the Smart Grid Initiative. And that's going to be done with the smart meters installed throughout the territory by 2018. In the meantime, that means that these rate increases annually to recoup those costs are fairly automatic. There's not much the Illinois Commerce Commission can do one way or another. So they did approve a $127 million rate increase for 2017 that goes into effect January 1st. And what that means is about $2 per month on the average household monthly electric bill for the delivery charge. And as you say, because energy prices have been so low during this time, it's been relatively painless for consumers. The average bill has been around $80 the whole time, even with the increases. So if and when the energy prices, and probably it's fairly inevitable, their fluctuations, when those energy prices rise, then you're going to be feeling it more.
All right, I'm going to defend ComEd or give ComEd's view in just a minute, but that's A. B took place in Port Clinton, Illinois today, where I think it was Port Clinton, where Governor Rauner signed this new bill that will allow Exelon to keep open two nuclear plants that are losing money. They can't afford to keep the plants open. The problem is if they close them, it's going to devastate the communities. I think one's in the Quad Cities, and then the other one is in northwestern Illinois. I've lost my brain is freezing here, Frank. But the idea was we needed to save those plants in order to save those towns in a way. So the governor's right. Signing that bill today. Proponents of it say this is great. It's going to rely on cleaner energy. It's a clean energy bill. Opponents say it's bad for business in Illinois.
That's right. So that is the second part of the rate increases that Illinois consumers and businesses will see starting next year. And because there was not as much support in the legislature as Governor Rauner had hoped, those changes, the change in the Future Jobs Energy Bill that he just signed into law, will go into effect in the middle of next year. He wanted it to go into effect immediately, but they will take hold July 1st. So we've got some rate hikes going into effect on January 1st, and then another round on July 1st, and then ongoing to pay off the end of the smart grid technology, which will be installed through 2018. So we got a couple more years of this before it can be a little bit more scrutinized by the ICC.
And now a word from Exelon. Aren't these smart grids good? Isn't their increased infrastructure good, right? They say outages, I think, are down by 40%, and we will use less energy once the grids and all of the systems that we use are a little smarter, so maybe this is a good investment.
Well, certainly the grid infrastructure investment has improved the quality of the service. Like you say, the performance has gone up with the outages going down 40%. And one thing that I really like about it is you don't have to, get that note on the door, well, we're going to estimate your electricity this month because the guy couldn't get into your basement or whatever. You got to take a half day off work. I mean, that was such an antiquated thing. So just the convenience of that alone to me is worth a couple bucks. But, I think any big infrastructure project, writ large, we're going to be looking at this as a nation under a Trump presidency probably. A lot of infrastructure investment, incentives for private, and then some public investment. And it ain't cheap, any of it.
And that's happening today. Governor Rauner with a couple of bill signings. One was at 10 o'clock, and I think the second one's coming up about an hour and a half from now. So he's in each of the towns that will benefit from keeping these plants open. So there's that. Maybe one day those towns will have Starbucks pizza joints in them. I'm not sure I follow all of that, but Cranes is writing that Starbucks is getting into the Italian bakery business, and they're going to start in Chicago?
Yeah, so who knew? They Starbucks chain has invested in a company called Princi. It's a very small chain of five boutique bakeries in Milan.
It's called Princi?
Yeah, Princi, and okay. That's the guy's name.
Well, that's strike one right there.
Rocco Princi, because okay. Rocco's pizza was already taken, so they had to call it Princi. And they're going to open later next year in Seattle, Chicago, and New York City. They're going to open these Princi bakeries, and they're going to serve special Starbucks coffee there. And they're also going to have these baked good products in some of the new Starbucks roastery and reserve stores where they're serving the fancy Starbucks. So they will have focaccia and pizza and all that good stuff, and they're going to have coffee, I guess, that goes well with pizza, which to me, not a combo that I'm usually looking for.
You don't have grounds on your pizza, usually a pepperoni, some some decaf, a fine roast.
I like a whole bean in my Sambuca, but I don't necessarily want it on my, pizza.
Well, they're serving booze now at Starbucks, right? So you can have a Sambuca with a bean in it.
Don't they serve booze?
I think they
do. Some of them do,
All right, so what's this about? I mean, I know Howard Schultz stepped down as CEO and he's moving toward these fancy coffee houses. I mean, look, most Americans are going to say Starbucks is a fancy coffee house.
Yeah.
You're spending $5 for a cup, but these more expensive ones are going to be sort of Schultz's baby, right?
Yeah, so the new Starbucks Reserve format, they plan to open 1,000 of these globally. And, once I just cannot do the whole $5 and up cup of coffee personally. Yeah. I'm not a, and so these are going to go toward, you know, probably 10, what, I don't know. I just, give me a mixed drink, you know, give me a shot and a beer. Give me a shot and a beer at the Billy Goat. I don't want to spend $10 on a cup of coffee, maybe.
I do buy every morning or every day. I have kind of a ritual. I do the 11 o'clock news here, and then I walk across the street and get a Starbucks. I've got it in my hand now for the show. And I spend too much for it. I think it's like $2.75, and that's just for a cup of black coffee. So that's a lot of coin. I can't imagine spending $4 for a cup of coffee the way people do now. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I, you know, I know a lot of people, and very near and dear to me, who, including you, who do make it a habit, and it's part of their personal luxury portfolio. That's awesome. You know, I just, more power to you. I just, not for me.
I just kind of defended myself by saying I only spend $2.75 a day, which is ridiculous. All right, let's go to Block 37. You know, there was a time when the most prominent structure, and I'm going to get this wrong maybe, but it seems to me the most prominent structure in Block 37 downtown, to get back to where we started, was a ComEd vault, right?
Yeah, right.
And it, and it kind of stuck up like a sore thumb. They've built now around it this grand shopping mall that, well, it's for sale again. And they've had a lot of trouble there.
They have. It was only about a third leased when CIM paid $84 million for it in 2012. And that's the same company, that, as you know, that recently bought Tribune Tower.
Yes.
They're based out of L.A. And they are now going to flip Block 37. The mall is now about two-thirds occupied. So they took it, you know, another step down the road. It needs about a third, you know, to be filled. And they're hoping to get about $200 million. So, you know, well over 100% profit in just 4 years. And, you know, I think that's a good coin if you can get it. That's a lot of Starbucks.
Are they doing it? That's a lot. They have that sort of Mexican, it's not a chain of restaurants, right? Isn't that in Block 37?
Yeah, Latinicity. It's Latinicity. Kind of like, you know, the Food Life, the Melman thing in the Water Tower.
Right.
You had kind of a food court, but it was all the same, you know, company and different offerings. Latinicity is like that. It's a food court owned by, you know, just one restaurant, but it's got different looks, and there's a bar, and there's also a sit-down restaurant, and then in the basement of Block 37, they have a little offshoot place. So there's a lot of Latinicity stuff going on.
I haven't been to Latinicity in a year, but I was there a year ago. I loved it. So
yeah, it's a beautiful space. It overlooks, you know, some really pretty scenery, Daily Plaza, and all that kind of stuff. So it's fun.
All right, overlooks the Christmas tree, as I recall. That's why I was there. Frank Sennett.
That's right.
You can read more at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks for stopping by today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll check in again in a week or so. Right now, let's take a break. We'll come back, get a check of the traffic, the business, Wall Street, all of that, and then put on our ugly Christmas sweaters for cash. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And if you are watching online at WGNradio.com, I'd just like to apologize to you right now because of my sweater. Next Friday is National Ugly Christmas Sweater Day, December 16th. Now, it's become big business, you know. Well, I can tell you, my wife had a holiday party last week, and the requirement was an ugly sweater. No one likes to think that the sweater that they paid full price for is probably ugly, so it's big on the secondary market. There's an outfit called UglyChristmasSweater.com. They did $5 million in business last year. So let's go to Chicago Costume. The general manager is Cortland Hickey, and he is very resplendent in a red hearted sweater that says, "Merry Christmas, you family animal." Very nice. Cortland,
filthy
animal.
That's the movie Home Alone.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. And what am I wearing here?
You're wearing a sweater that says nice with a couple teddy bears and presents and a Christmas sock, as my daughter calls them.
You know, here's the thing. You won't be out of the building before I have this off. Just so you know. So tell me about this. I mean, is it the sort of thing that you guys have noticed at your shop?
Right, of course. Yeah, we've been doing ugly Christmas sweaters for, you know, at least several years now.
Give me a number. How long has it, I mean, is it been?
I would say at least 5 or 6 years. Okay. have been very popular. I think that people, Obviously, everybody's mom had one. Everybody's grandma had fashionable at the time.
Cortland, I might have had one. I don't know.
You might have sweater vests also, but there are so many of them. They're so fun. They're so iconic holiday outfits, holiday sweaters that people love. You know, it's an easy transition from whether you're wearing a full Santa suit or an elf costume to something everybody can kind of wear.
And it's become good business for you guys?
It's definitely become good holiday business for us.
Right. Because it's a downtime.
Right. There's not a lot going on in the costume world outside of Halloween. And, you know, ugly sweaters are very cool. We have two options, actually. We have vintage ugly sweaters that actually buy by the pound from an outfit on the West Coast. And then we have what we're wearing, which are new ugly sweaters. And you can tell it's hit the mainstream and it's popular when you see lines at Target and lines at Macy's and even at, you know, major hardware stores. They have a rack of
I saw a celebrity line. Like, there's a Shaq ugly sweater.
Yeah, there's a Shaq. All those major sports teams have their ugly sweaters. We actually also have a line of, death metal bands, Slayer, nice. And Motorhead, officially licensed ugly sweaters.
Are there any ugly Hanukkah sweaters?
Absolutely. And there's also
such a nicer shade of blue. I like the blue.
Well, we have a whole series of ones that light up. There's like a menorah that has light up, and then there's also ones that with different kinds of light up as well as with noise that sing, you know, holiday songs.
And you rent these, obviously.
We sell them.
Oh, you sell them. Mm-hmm. Good. I was going to say, what would you rent a sweater for?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There are some really good ones I'd love to keep that are so wonderful from the vintage line that, I don't like to give up, you know, things that I really love, but I think that they're...
Well, Cortland, you're the general manager. You could just stuff it up behind a shelf.
It's true.
And be fine.
It's true. But, you know, I think it's important to always keep things fresh. You don't want to wear the same thing over and over again.
Cortland Hickey's the general manager of Chicago Costume. You guys are up on Fullerton, right?
That's right. We actually
a little west of Sheffield? Or...
Right. We have our main locations in Lincoln Park, 1120 West Fullerton, right across from DePaul University. We have a secondary location at 4727 West Montrose in the Portage Park neighborhood. And I actually also have a holiday pop-up store.
Really?
At 936 West Roscoe at Clark Street in anticipation of, we had it there for Halloween, but also there's a big pub crawl this weekend. It's called the 12 Bars of Christmas, T-Box.
Nice.
And that runs right by the location. So
you go to where your customers are, or you go to where the alcohol is, which is predominant there?
Well, that's where the alcohol is. There haven't been as many customers as I like in the Wrigleyville neighborhood, unfortunately. But, you know, it's a great event, and we've been partnering with them for many years. So we're hoping that people show up for it.
Tell me briefly, we've just got a minute or so left, but Halloween's big. Do you guys do a theater business? How much of that is your...
We do... Halloween, unfortunately, Halloween is not... this particular year with the Cubs was not very big.
Oh.
The games really were on all the big days when people would have been going out. It was a Monday. There was some economic depression. There
right.
was from the election, all kinds of different factors into it. So this was actually probably the least successful Halloween in the last decade. But we do a lot of other things in the off season. We do, obviously, Santa and holiday rentals, any different holiday you can think of. We do a lot of comic book stuff, comic book conventions. We work with pretty much all the major productions of film and TV here in town. We do work on all the major mascots for all the sports teams. We do, a fair amount of theater business, high schools, anything anybody wants.
Well,
it's
great. I appreciate you coming in. How do people find out more? Would you have a website or what?
Yeah, they can check us out online, chicagocostume.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We also contribute to lots of other wonderful things down here at WGN. Pete McMurray's a regular customer. Patty Vasquez.
Yeah, but Pete, those aren't costumes to Pete. That's the weird thing. It's kind of discouraging, isn't
well, see,
it?
Well, that's the, you know.
Do you ever say, Pete, step back. People don't wear this.
See, this is the thing. Now, I'm very fortunate that costumes have become very mainstream and popular. They're acceptable to be worn all the time, anytime, for all kinds of different things.
That's Cortland Hickey, General Manager, Chicago Costume.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.